Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens Presents Traveling the Universe. Joining me today is Matt.
How's it going?
And I'm Mitch. We're going to spend the next half hour or so nerding out on the season premiere of Doctor Who, so if you haven't seen The Woman Who Fell to Earth yet, hit pause on this podcast, watch the episode, and get back to us. So that said, let's take a second just to give our general and mostly spoiler-free thoughts on the episode. Matt, give me your thoughts and rate The Woman Who Fell to Earth on a scale of 1 to 5 sonic screwdrivers.
It was so good. I mean, this is just really kind of the perfect introduction, whether you're a Whovian or not, to the 13th Doctor. It was great from beginning to end. If I had to say 1 to 5 sonic screwdrivers, I'm going to go 4, I think.
Okay. Yeah, as far as regeneration episodes go, for me, Woman was brilliant. It gave us a great introduction to Graham and Ryan, but I still want to know more about Yaz. Once the Doctor completely finished regenerating, it was clear that the sonic screwdriver was in good hands. I'm also giving this 4 out of 5 sonics because this was missing two things. The opening title credits, which we still knew about going into this, mm-hmm. but then there was also something else that was missing that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So so that said, this is your last chance. If you haven't seen this episode yet and you keep listening, you're about to get spoiled. And really, you brought this upon yourself. So we're going to go ahead and we're just going to like touch on a few of the plot points. Not going to go over the entire episode as a whole. But yeah, and then afterwards, we're going to kind of talk about what we liked and what we didn't like and kind of just like looking forward. So it begins with Ryan doing a YouTube video. And the way that he's talking, we're supposed to think he's talking about the Doctor, but yeah, he's probably not. And so then it cuts to him learning to ride a bike, which he says, you know, early on that he suffers from dyspraxia, which is a coordination disorder, which really I think is it's really good that, you know, that they're doing something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, his grandmother, Grace, and her kind of newish husband, Graham, are helping him learn to ride a bike. He gets frustrated, and bike gloat goes off a cliff. Because that's what you do.
It does.
So he's trying to find it, and something shiny appears out of nowhere. Okay, sure. Touch it, Ryan. Go right ahead. That's not going to have any consequences for anybody. And then so we're going to cut ahead a little bit to the train scene. I saw someone on Reddit call the Gathering Coil the Flying Spaghetti Monster. And that's what I'm calling it from here on out.
It is the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
It was glorious. And, of course, this is the Doctor's first scene. And it's still kind of clear that she's going through the regeneration process. But she already, to me, already feels like she's the Doctor. And then even though we kind of already saw it in previews and kind of like a first look of the season, her "I'm looking for a doctor" line still made me smile. It was fantastic. So let's go ahead and talk about the monster of the week, Tim Shaw. I don't like that that's just what he's called.
Tim Shaw?
Yeah.
Like he actually has a name?
Yeah, because like I thought that I had misheard it or whatever. So I even like was Googling it and like earlier today, and yeah, just like a lot of sources were calling the monster Tim Shaw. It's like, no, that sounds like somebody that you had like calculus with back in high school.
Well, I had the captions on when I watched it, and the captions had a slightly different spelling, which made it look more alien than just Timshaw. So, I forget exactly the way it spelled Shaw, but it was like almost like a TZ spelling. Hmm.
So. But yeah, so anyway, so Timmy Boy here is a Stinza warrior. with the ability to kill his victims with his cold touch. He also, and in my notes here, it's in caps lock, he also takes a tooth from each victim and puts it on his face.
So creepy.
Who does that? Well,
he does, apparently.
But, like, okay, so, like, I don't know about you, Matt, but, like, I was reading, like, a lot of people where the monster of the week was kind of like a low point for them, but I don't know. I thought he was obviously not a classic Doctor Who villain because they're, you know, doing all new villains this season, but he kind of felt like still a classic Doctor Who villain.
Yes, but he also seemed like a new updated villain. He still had the vibe of being like an old Doctor Who villain. But the suit, the armor, the face mask, it was, I don't know. It had an interesting vibe to me.
Yeah, that's true. Like, and when we first saw him, I was like, wait, is that a Cyberman?
That was my thought too. I seriously was watching that last night and I almost sent you a message. I'm like, what? Are we getting Cybermen? Like, and then already? I kept watching and realized it was not.
Yeah. So moving on, now we get to the scene where the Doctor is making her own sonic screwdriver with spoons and other miscellaneous parts lying around. That's cool, I guess.
This had to be my favorite scene of the whole episode. Because you know that this is what the Doctor does every time, but you never get to see it.
Yeah.
And to watch her, as she's still trying to figure out who she is, put this together, I loved it. I thought it was awesome. It was a good visualization, I think, for me, of who and what the Doctor is.
Yeah, it was a cool scene, but, like, I don't know, for me it kind of takes away the I guess mystery maybe a little bit of the sonic screwdriver, because it's like, oh, it's stuff that you can just, you know, you can just make it with, like, parts lying around the house. It's kind of like how I felt it. I mean, if she was making like something else like that, I would have thought I would be 100% in agreement with you. And even still, I'm like still 90% there. It was an awesome scene, but still, it's just like I feel like the Sonic should have been more than that. But I digress.
More like mysterious, or
exactly
what's the word? Yeah, I kind of know what you're saying.
Yeah. So, all right, so moving on. So now, you know, we learn that Tim Shaw is trying to find Carl, who was on the train with everybody else at the beginning. And, of course, Carl's a crane operator and works, like, a million feet high in the air. That just totally makes sense. But here is where we finally get Jodie Whittaker's I Am the Doctor speech. And it was exactly what I wanted it to be. Between the speech, giving Tim Shaw a chance to change, letting him face the repercussions when he didn't, and then also reprimanding Carl after the situation was neutralized, it reminded me a lot of The Christmas Invasion, which was David Tennant's first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that is very true, yeah. I mean, definitely her speech to Tim Shaw was classic Doctor. You know, these are your choices, you know, either do this or get off my planet. That's all there is to it. So.
Right. And it was, yeah, it was phenomenal. I guess RIP Grace.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. And then we learned that going back to the very beginning of the episode, that's who Ryan was talking about. Her funeral scene, it was very touching. It, you know, it really kind of really pulled at the heartstrings and really made you want to, you know, care more about Graham and, you know, and all that. And then so we get the Doctor finally gets a new outfit, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then she's able to locate her TARDIS. She finds it again with random parts around the house. She gets transported to it, and then, oh wait, now everyone is floating in space, and that's the end. That's the end of the episode?
That was the end.
Oh, man. Like, I seriously, I didn't think that it was. I thought that we still had, like, a one more scene or something, you know.
Hoping for something else other than just hanging in space.
Right. So.
Which, at this point, that particular ending fits so well with her regeneration and how she's sucked out of the TARDIS.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So,
so I don't know if they're meant to mirror each other, but that's what I saw.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. I'm not familiar enough yet with Chibnall to know if that was something that he was planning. Like, if this was still a Stephen Moffat episode, then yeah, like 100% that was planned from the get-go.
Yeah.
But so what do you think, Matt? Did I hit all the important plot points? Was there something that I missed?
No, I think that was pretty much it.
Okay.
I mean, there was the I will go back, I guess, a little bit, and I was a little confused or thrown off by the guy that brought that pod back to his shop Tim Shaw came out of.
You mean essentially the completely useless character?
Yes. Yes. The one that died and the first tooth was taken from.
Right.
But there was his speech to the creature, to Tim Shaw, about his sister. It pulled me out of the episode just for a minute because I felt like that was going to be more important and then it wasn't.
I mean,
and I almost want more exclamation for that.
Right. And it's still early on enough in the season where, yeah, we might get something, you know, she might be revisited later this season somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and if that's the case, then I will retract my, you know, completely useless character assessment from earlier. But as it stands right now, and obviously, like, that's how I thought, because that, you know, I didn't even include him in the synopsis at all. Like, I just felt like that was
right.
He was completely extraneous, you know. That pod or whatever, like, it could have just opened on its own and we could have seen Tim Shaw still, like, you know, kill anybody and still have gotten that vibe,
which is very true. Like, why was it necessary for that character to bring it into the city? Why couldn't it have stayed in the forest and they have found it in the forest?
Right. Well, I guess I
hadn't thought about it that way.
I guess in that instance, if they had done it that way, we probably wouldn't have gotten the drunk guy throwing his salad at Tim Shaw. Which, as far as extraneous characters go, I much preferred him over the other one. But, you know, that's just me.
Have my salad. Tim Shaw was not impressed.
No, not at all. So, all right. So, let's go ahead and talk for a couple minutes about some of the things that we liked and what we'll do liked first, and then we'll talk about what we didn't like about the episode later on. So, Matt, go ahead and talk about, like, things that really stood out for you for this episode.
I think probably number one is the creation of the sonic screwdriver. Like, I'm going to go back to that. I really loved that. I really enjoyed how that all came together, quite literally. I also enjoyed how the doctor just immediately picked these people. Like, she fell into the train. She is surrounded by all of these people, and there's no question. These people that are going to help her, and these are the people that she's going to help. There was no trepidation or concern, which I understand at that point she's still trying to figure out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she knows enough to know that she's alien. After Graham's comment about not getting aliens in Sheffield, and she just kind of looks at him. It's like, really? You think so?
I had forgotten about that. That was beautiful.
Because she does. She, like, shares this look. Like, I don't know if I remember if it was at the camera or if it was another character. She, like, you know, you see this look on her face, like, you're so far away from what you really think right now. That, and I don't know if I have to pick another like favorite moment, it would be the end. And I know you said we're going to talk about her picking the outfit a little bit later, and I'll bring this back up when we get to that point, but I think there was a comment she made at that moment, and I think that might be my favorite line from the whole thing. So,
well, let's actually go ahead and stick with that, because that was one of my things that I liked about the episode as well. And I have a feeling that, because I wrote down a quote from her from that scene that I really enjoyed, and something tells me it might be kind of similar. So
it might be. But as they're going to pick out the clothes, she comments she hasn't done this in a long time. And yes. I definitely took that to mean picking out female clothes versus male clothes.
That's how I took it too. And, you know, and I saw how somebody on the internet who said, you know, something like along the lines of, well, you know, the first doctor traveled with his granddaughter a lot. So maybe, you know, that's what he was referring to, you know, getting clothes for Susan. Or maybe the doctor just likes to cross-dress from time to time.
That could be too. I guess maybe part of it for me is there, aside from, was it Matt Smith that comments on the number of times he can regenerate?
I know Matt Smith commented a few times.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think. I feel like Tennant may have as well. I mean,
I'm just starting to wonder if maybe that idea of the number of times of regeneration is a little more fluid, especially in like Chibnall's version of Doctor Who, than everybody in the past has seen it as very static.
And that could be, because I do know that there were instances in classic Who, maybe not so much with new Who that we've seen, but there have been instances where, yeah, Time Lords can grant and take away regenerations. Well, I guess we did see it when in Matt Smith's regeneration episode when the Time Lords gave him a new set of regenerations. So, yeah, so who's to say that, yeah, maybe the first Doctor wasn't the first Doctor in the first place.
Right. I guess that's what I enjoyed about that. Was for me that opens up more a bigger can of worms if you can do that in the Hooniverse. Just, you know, more lore, more background, more things to explore, I guess, at least for me.
Yeah, for sure. I guess so. We were wrong. It wasn't we weren't thinking of the same quote. I laughed hysterically when, you know, she got the new outfit and everything, and, you know, she was like, oh, can, you know, like, asking, like, hey, can somebody else, you know, pay for this? And then just, like, reaches in, like, empty pockets.
Empty pockets.
Because
she makes that comment earlier.
Yes, I think she made it a couple of times, even. It was definitely a running gag for the episode, but it definitely paid off for that. So, couple of the things in the episode that I really enjoyed. I loved Grace's optimism. And, you know, it's a shame that she's not going to be around regularly. And we knew that she wasn't going to be around regularly. But hopefully we will see more of her in, like, flashbacks or something like that. Seeing the Doctor fall through the roof of the train makes complete sense for the character.
Yes.
And also, I did really enjoy the fact that the Doctor's gender is barely mentioned. It's addressed. And they move on with it. I'm sure it'll be addressed in other episodes, but as long as it's not a major plot point, you know, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a strong point where there was very little mention. It was just, you know, oh, well, look at that. And they moved on.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. So that's a thing. So, all right.
Isn't that what she says?
Something about like, oh, she asks like, oh, does it suit me? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, switching gears now, let's talk about some things that we didn't like. And then, so, like, so I'm going to go first on this one. I didn't like that we went the entire first episode without seeing the TARDIS. And I was trying to think back earlier, like, with definitely, you know, with sticking with New Who, I'm sure it's happened more often in Classic Who. And for sure, like, with, what was it, the third Doctor, he was stuck on Earth for a long time. But anyway, you know, like, thinking back to all the other regeneration episodes, we always got the TARDIS in some way, shape, or form. And I was also trying to think, like, were there any other episodes in, you know, New Who that we haven't seen the TARDIS, like, at all?
I feel like there's been a couple. I mean, I know that, I think it's Blink, where the Doctor is stuck without the TARDIS.
Yeah. But even then, the TARDIS is still in that episode with, because Sally Sparrow and the guy, like, they end up getting in the TARDIS.
Uh-huh. True.
So, I was really looking forward to the it's smaller on the, or it's bigger on the inside comment, and we didn't get it, and, oh well. But, I still, like, I'm still kind of on the fence with the fact that Yaz and Ryan know each other, that they have that fat past, because Ryan and Graham also have that connection. So it's like, I don't know. I think it would have been a little bit cooler to have one of the companions not be attached to the others, like, at all, and just kind of be there. But at the same time, I mean, that is kind of the precedent that's set when you have multiple companions for a season. I mean, let's even go back to, you know, Amy, Rory, and River Song. Granted, at first we didn't think that River Song was connected, but oh, it turns out she was, you know, so that's just one of those things that...
Epic plot twist.
Right. So I'm just kind of, like, just on the fence on that one. And then kind of like what I talked about earlier, I love Tim Shaw as the monster, but I think he could have had a much better name. But that's me. So, Matt, what were some of the low points for you?
Yeah, I can't disagree with wishing Tim Shaw had a better name for a monster. That was a little weak. But I guess I felt like his threat could have been a little bit more discernible, especially after he got to the fact that it was a matter of, oh, I'm coming, I'm going to take Graham, he's going to be my trophy, ta-da, end of story. Like, I kind of wish that his plot on Earth was a little bit grander than just tracking one person, hauling him off, and being done. Especially for an opening episode, I felt like it would have given a better gravitas to her saving Earth, as the Doctor is so prone to do.
That's fair.
I guess really my only other thing that I'm not a huge fan of, and it's kind of the flip side to one of my favorite things about the episode, is I'm not sure how three companions is going to work for a whole season. I feel like it's a lot.
Yeah. it is, especially for the entire season. Now I want you to think back to the trailer that we got, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago or something like that. There's a scene where, like, the Doctor is clearly walking away from somebody, and she seems, like, really upset about it. And I've had a feeling ever since then, I don't think that we're going to end the season with three companions. Whatever that means.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah, now I had seen on the internet that there was fear and speculation that what she was so sad about walking away from was actually the TARDIS.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I'm not sure how I feel. I kind of hate that idea, but
yeah. Yeah. If that's what it ends up being, I'm not going to be necessarily on board for that. I say that, but if it's done properly, okay, you can win me over. But yeah, just on paper, I don't like that idea at all.
Oh, sorry. One other thing. Yeah. This is going way back to things I enjoyed about the episode. The production, like the CGI for the spaghetti monster was awesome. Early on, you know, with Tenet, and with Eccleston, the special effects were fairly campy.
Absolutely.
As the seasons have picked up steam and more popularity, that's improved. And I think this is just a new bar for like the special effects for the show. And I think that's awesome.
No, you're absolutely right. And that actually is going to kind of lead me to some of the other things I want to talk about. This isn't necessarily something that we're going to talk about every week, but I just, for this first episode, I wanted to just kind of get like our first impressions on a lot of the characters and things like that. And that's one of them. It's just kind of like the feel of the show under Chibnall. Like for me, it is kind of hard to tell because the first episode of any Doctor Who, any new Doctor, is still kind of like rough around the edges. Because not only is the Doctor trying to find himself or herself, but the actor is also trying to find the Doctor. So, but with that said, I mean, if this season keeps up with its mix of comedy and dramatic moments and the special effects, I think that we're in for a hell of a season.
I would agree entirely.
So yeah, so let's also like, and kind of going along with that, you know, like some of the other things, like the Sonic Screwdriver, the theme song, which if you were watching the simulcast on BBC America, they cut out the theme for a commercial, which bugged me. I don't know if they did that with the later airing, but I did get a chance to hear the ending credits online, and they are phenomenal. They are absolutely wonderful.
I guess I didn't realize that. I did watch the first, probably 15 minutes during the simulcast, and then I watched the rest of it later after I got home from work. But no, I didn't. I had missed that the theme was missing.
Yeah. We never saw the opening theme, and the ending credits, like it was like one of those like where the ending credits were like on in a quarter of the screen, and there was like an advertisement up at the top. And it cut out, you know, the theme music, which you'll have that. What do you think about the Sonic Screwdriver? Other than, you know, the scene of it being made, but like the Sonic Screwdriver in its final form, what are your thoughts on it?
It is a little haphazard. And I know that it was a matter of her putting it together with what she had. Mm-hmm. It looks a little shoddy, but I think that's kind of the point at this moment. Which makes me wonder if we will see her improve on that when she gets back to the TARDIS.
If she gets back to the TARDIS.
If she gets back to the TARDIS.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% sold on it. It's growing on me a little bit, but I'm not a fan of the design of it. It just, I don't know. It looks too weird for me, but I mean, what about Doctor Who isn't weird, right?
Right.
So, so let's go ahead and do like first impressions of the main characters, and then we're gonna kind of wrap everything up here. So with the Doctor, you know, going into it before this episode, every little thing that we've seen of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor had, you know, got me excited, but I still wanted to hear her first, you know, "I am the Doctor" speech. And now that I saw that, like, there's no doubt in my mind that she's gonna do great things. She's just wonderful. She's everything that I wanted her to be, and there's room for growth, you know?
Yeah, entirely. It's exactly what I wanted from her as a Doctor, but yes, it definitely gives room to grow and room for both us and her to learn who she is and what's going on, which I think is awesome.
What were your first thoughts on Yaz?
She's probably the one I'm still the least, I don't know, I don't want to say sold on, but the one I think that fits maybe least with the Doctor. Just, she's a little rigid, and maybe that's the police background that she has, and then the connection that she has with Ryan. So I don't know. I have yet to make up my mind on her.
Now, was it just me, or do you think that she kind of got the short end of the stick when it came to her backstory? Because I feel like with the others, we got a better feel for who she is. Yeah, we know that she's a cop. We know that, you know, she's frustrated in her job because she keeps getting on like the smaller assignments or whatever. But, like, outside of that, like, I just kind of feel like I didn't get a chance to know her. And maybe that was because, you know, it was kind of Grace's episode. Mostly because she was the only, you know, this is the only one that she's going to be in. But maybe because, you know, she is the least connected to Grace, maybe that's why we didn't get as much of a feel for, you know, her personality or what have you. And maybe we'll get more of that later on. I really hope that we do get more of it later on. But
yeah, that's probably the one thing with having not just Grace, but now the three companions plus the Doctor. That's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of introductions to make. Mm-hmm. In addition to, you know, the Monster of the Week situation that we had going on. So, right. You know, maybe that's just something that'll develop as the season goes along.
Yeah, for sure. So, so moving on with Ryan, I think it's really an interesting take going back to, you know, his dyspraxia, and that it doesn't limit him. He was still doing things that he was still scared to do them, but he still did them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think he's also, you know, has some room to grow, but I liked that character.
Yeah, I like him a lot, and I think that particularly with the Doctor, that he will just continue to be more confident, both in himself and just as a character in general.
Finally, let's talk about Graham.
Graham is a little stodgy. that I think to me will be one of the more interesting things throughout the season, will be watching the relationship between he and Ryan, especially now that Grace is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as they come to terms with both her having died and just getting used to going with the Doctor and seeing all of these weird and bizarre things that they will certainly see.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that he and Grace complimented each other very well. And I kind of hope that he doesn't, you know, like, lose himself after her death, you know?
True.
But yeah. And I do really, I feel like it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how he and Ryan work together the rest of this season, because, you know, Graham was trying his hardest to get Ryan to like him, and Ryan was just kind of like, nah, I'm all right, bro. and so we'll see if he kind of, like, turns around, you know, this season, which I feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just final thoughts. Anything else that you want to talk about? Also, you know, the preview that we saw for the next episode, the Ghost Monument. I don't know. I even rewatched the preview right before I called you, and I don't know. Like, really, there's a lot of sand. That's about all that I really got for that episode.
There is a lot of sand. I just can't wait to see, like, where this goes, is really pretty much what it comes down to. I think that she is going to be perfect as the season continues as the Doctor. And I don't know, at this point, I'm just, like I said, looking forward to everything that we have coming and all of the surprises that I hope we will see.
All right. Well, that is all the time that we have for this episode of Traveling the Hooniverse. We'll be back later this week for our regular show, and then we'll be back here next week to cover the Ghost Monument. In the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week, and we'll see you later.
See ya.